Father, I do not take it for granted, but Lord, ask for mercy to be faithful. Because the Bible says it is required in a steward that a man be found faithful. I ask that, Lord, you have mercy upon me to multiply this little word that I brought, this word of encouragement that will minister to everyone, that will strengthen our hearts. Lord God, enable us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. I pray for grace as I humble myself in sufficient measure. I would go forth in power and clarity and simplicity in the comfort and love of the Spirit. Do an internal work in our hearts, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlightened with revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, help me to redeem time, not to say things that are necessary. But I pray that as word goes forth, let it bring forth healing, let it bring forth strength, let it be a word of encouragement, Lord God, bringing your people back unto you to do your will. I thank you and give you all the praise and glory for all you will do in our midst this evening as I dock under covering in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. I have an extremely short word of exhortation. It's nothing new. And I'm trusting that God will help me to bring it forth with the spirit of meekness and wisdom. The title of the message I have this evening is Becoming Skillful in Using the Word of Righteousness. Let's say together, Becoming Skillful in Using the Word of Righteousness. Hebrews chapter 5, we read verses 13 and 14. This was Paul talking. It's the old essence of our Christianity. Please put it on the board. I'll talk about it. I'll just begin to talk gradually as I get into the flow of the Spirit of God. You see, the old essence of our Christianity, when we get born again, as we all know, is to grow from baby to little child to young man, and then to finally fathers. And it's something that is very important to God. Are you following me? That growth process is very important to God. And here we see Paul talking to the Hebrew Christians. You know, they somehow began to stagnate in their growth process. They were not growing as they were supposed to go. So he was now telling them, in fact, like pastors taught us over the years, some of them wanted to go back to Judaism. You know, like you see in the body of Christ today, you see Christians, you know, and to do that is to backslide. That is, let me give a simple example that comes to my heart. You know, nowadays we have cell phones. And then you now say, okay, I don't want to use kind of cell phone. You start looking for those phones, analog phones that you have to do. You know, it's like going back. Are you following me? I will see the importance of this message is very important for us. Are you following me? So I'm saying the title again is Becoming Skillful is a Process in Using the Word of Righteousness. Let's now read together. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is what? A babe. Next verse. But strong meat, say strong meat, belongeth to them that are what? Of full age. Even those who by reason of use or exercise or practice have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I think in the preceding chapter, he was talking about, said, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ. You know, let us go on to perfection. So one of the proofs that you are moving on to perfection is as you grow, you become more skillful in the use of the word of righteousness. So it's very important for us being skillful. I'll give examples as we continue. You know, the genesis of this message is actually some things occurred over a period of time. And I began to look back at the teaching of the house, what we've been taught, and how in my own personal life I've seen an accelerated spiritual growth and development. No, not because I'm better than the other person, you know, or any other Christian, or let me say, not that because we are better, but because we've had fathers that have instructed us so that we can experience an accelerated spiritual growth and development in our lives. And that is very important because, you see, the time is very short. God does not have another, like I was sharing the other day, 40 years to waste. Like I said, like in time of Moses, you know, God started doing damage control. The moment he made a mistake and he had to go and meet Jethro and live there, God began to do damage control. That's why when he got to Kadesh Barnea and then he smote the rock, after wasting another 40 years, God said, no, Moses, you can't continue. So there had to be of necessity a change in leadership. That's how Joshua came. And the Bible talks about Joshua. He said he's going to divide the land. That's part of his skill you need. Divide land for an inheritance of the people. You become the body of Christ right now. Not that we don't make mistakes. But there's some mistakes we cannot afford to make as Christians and as a body. With time. Because we don't have time. Satan himself knows that his time is very short. But many Christians don't know that we have a very short time. And so God is working on a strict timetable. Are you following me? So it's very important. The same thing also in terms of the children of Israel. You know, that's what caused them an extra 430 years. God had told them, he said, look, you spend 400 years in this place, and then by the time you come out, you know, I'll bring them out. You know, he said, because the iniquity of Amorites is not yet full. But you find that because of Moses' mistake, they spent an extra 30 years. Are you following me? But still, God was able to manage the situation. By the time you got to the book of Malachi, are you following me? There was another 400 years of silence. That means there must have been a generation, people like Daniel, that when they got the baton, they ran fast and, you know, they have to catch up. They redeemed the time, so to speak. So also in this end time, it's very important. So we see one of the things we need to be very skillful in using the word of righteousness. Praise the Lord. So we very rare that. So what does it mean to be skillful? The dictionary definition says a skillful person is one having or showing the knowledge, ability, or training to perform a certain activity or task efficiently with maximum results. That's a skillful person. A skillful person is one having or showing the knowledge, ability, or training to perform what? A certain activity or task efficiently with what? Maximum results. Praise the Lord. So what does it mean to be skillful? Let me explain it based on this scripture I'm using to share the word today. Being skillful in using the word of righteousness speaks of using the word of God to always do the right thing by overcoming the enemy, that is the residual sin nature in the soul, body, and in the air. What do we mean by that? You see, the Bible talks about the word of righteousness. Righteousness there meaning right doing in our conduct. Ready? When we get born again, we have a right standing with God. But now you now need to learn to use the word of God to do right. That is, 100 times out of 100 times, you're always doing the right thing. And simply put, it is only love that always does right. Bible said, love worketh no evil. You know, so that's why the perfection of the love of God is very important. So we're not saying anything new today, but just trying to use different scriptures to buttress the same point we've been taught all over the years. So, and I said in this simple definition about just using the word of God skillfully, that using the word of righteousness skillfully means that you're always doing the right thing at the right time. And it comes to my heart, the definition that Papa Hagin gave some time ago. He summarizes sin, so to speak. He said, God, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him one time. He said that every step out of love is sin. He says, every step, if it's very deep. The Lord was talking to Papa Hagin and he said, every step out of love is sin. So, you see, you can summarize when you step out of love in your thoughts, in your words, that you have already committed sin. Are you following me? Not necessarily the big sin. If you love your neighbor, you will not take his wife, you will not misbehave. Are you following me? So, using the word of God skillfully speaks about using the word of God to overcome. Because, you see, the reason why, well, whatever hinders us from using the word of God skillfully is this sin nature, this residual sin nature that we have in our souls and in our bodies. It kind of comes and dribbles us. Deceives us. So we need to learn to use that word skillfully to overcome the residual sin nature in the soul and in the body and also in the air. Praise the Lord. Let's put the scripture behind it. Romans chapter 13 verse 10 in the Amplified Bible. I already mentioned it, but let's just put it. Okay. So for everyone, Romans in the Amplified Bible, please. Romans chapter 13 verse 10 in the Amplified Bible. Okay, let's read together. This is, it says, love does no wrong to one's neighbor. It never hurts anybody. Therefore, love meets all the requirements and is what? The fulfilling of the law. So anytime you always do the right thing, you're walking love. I follow that. Right standing, not right standing in terms of right standing with God, but we're talking about right doing. Praise the Lord. And the main opposition to right doing is Satan and the nature that we have in our souls and in our bodies. Praise the Lord. So it's very important for us to know that at the back of our mind. And I have some examples here. It's not a long message, like I said, about the mighty men of David. You must have read about it. We'll read some of them tonight. You see, none of them started the way they were. You see, these are the elite forces. You know, this year has been declared to be the year of the first fruit overcomer vanguard. And it's not, you see, skillful people, they're not much. They're just a company of people that have learned to, if it's in football, for example, it's as if the football is glued to their feet. They can do and undo. You know, I was just checking, I was coming, you know, God reminded me of a situation. I had to go and check the most skillful footballers in the world. Even Pelé was listed number 3. Yes, the first person, the most skillful footballer up to this present time is Ronaldinho. Yeah, this Brazilian footballer. These are people that they've learned to use the ball, to do the work for them. You know, somebody that is not that don't know how to play football, you're throwing up and down, but these people, they can take the ball, two people and come and just do something like this, and then this will, you know, and they are still not tired. You know, Ronaldinho, they just mentioned this, not part of the message, but I just went to check. Then Zidane, are you following me? Then Pele was number three, and then Messi, then Maradona, then the other, the rest. The earlier one, they upgrade this thing. The one I checked about a month ago, I think Okocha was number four. These guys are, why? They are very skillful. I get tired of myself. You see, they've learned under people. One. And you cannot be skillful alone. We have to be in the midst of people. In the team. I'm going to talk about unity. Is very important. We'll get to it later. For you to be very, very skillful. And then it also takes personal practice. You see, you now see I'm getting tired of myself. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, God, much the more so as today the day approaching. You cannot be skillful in isolation. Are you following me? You cannot be skillful in isolation. You have to be in the midst of brethren. Are you following me? Like in a football match, you have the opponents who are the kind of your enemy. That's why God will not take Satan away. He will not take carnal Christians away from you. But you must learn how to use your weapons. So when something happens, you must know how to maneuver. Are you following me? Use the ball like the footballer, you place the ball and then come out on hot. Are you following me? In spite of what they want to do. So it's very important. So I just said that ahead of time. So let's look at the mighty man of David. It's important because these were the ones that came to David after Saul died. And Pastor has been teaching about the dynasty of David. You see, they were skillful people. But they could not practice their skill in isolation. So they had to come and join the person that God has raised up for that time. So let's look at it. You know, first of all, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32. He now began to describe them. You see, folks, we've come to that place that all the your talents. Let me relate to this house. It applies to anywhere. All your talents, whatever God has given you. I feel like these people, they recognize that David is the man that God has chosen. So they laid aside their personal ambition for the furtherance of the kingdom. Lots of you are playing in a football match. A selfish person is unlikely to make you lose that game. Because if looking after his own, how he's going to do this, how he's going to do that, but let me explain something to you. God told me, I was explaining somebody some time ago, you know, at my workplace, I was telling some of you that work with me. I said, let me tell you something. I said, do you know that in a football match, it is impossible for the goalkeeper to win the highest goal scorer? It's not possible. It's not possible. Or even the defender. So if you're in a football match and you're all playing, and the defender gets offended, see, everybody's always talking about mercy, 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 like we talk, mercy, is the only one, they are going to lose that match. Because the Bible says that God has put every member in his own body as he pleased him. Are you following me? So that is the same thing, body of Christ. You may not be standing here to share the word, but God could have woken up this morning and said, pray for the service. And then the same blessing that comes to us that is sharing the word will come to you. So it's a team thing. It's very important. So let's read as we continue. Why have I said that? Let's read. When Saul died, then they began to come to David in their droves. To put it in the natural, they understood that this is going to be the captain of the team. I follow me. And they were willing to lay down everything they had and use everything they have to establish the kingdom. Why? Because they still had to possess Zion. And there were Jebusites living there. I follow him. So let's read. He says, and of the children of Issachar, which were what? Men. Say they were men. So it takes maturity to be skillful. If you give a small boy now, a football, you find it, if he tries to kick, he will still fall down. I follow him. So let's keep reading. Understand of the times to know what Israel ought to do. I follow him. The heads of them were 200, not many. And all their brethren were at their commandment. Next verse. See another set of you. Of Zebulun, such as were as went forth to battle. The expert. That was skillful. Expert in what? War. With all instruments of war. They had their weapons. 50,000, which will keep rank. Say keep rank. That is their own outstanding character. They knew how to keep rank. To keep unity. Formation. Are you following me? And they were not of a double heart. That is once they said, look, we are going to destroy the Amalekites. They won't get there and do what Saul did and spare anybody. Next verse. And of Naphtali, 1,000 captains. These are captains now. They've all grown to become captains. They're not just men of war. And with them, with shield and spear, 30 and 7,000. Next verse.
and of the Danites, expert. Keeps on saying expert in war. 28,600. You see, the Bible started listing these people because at that time they had not yet possessed the land. Joshua did not possess all the land. God had told them, said, go ahead and I'm giving you the land. Joshua didn't take everything. It was only the time of David with these men of God, men of war, that they took Zion. I follow my train of thought. Zion here is the perfect church. I follow me. So, but I'm using these types and shadows to explain what is going on. We have a mission in the body of Christ, and which is to possess Zion, which is the same to pastor preach the bride of Christ. For the bride to comfort, you know, without spot, wrinkle, blemish, or any such thing. So all these people with their skills, they came and they recognized it. You can't enter into a match without a leader. Everybody will be able to say, in those days when there was no king in Israel, every man did as was pleasing his own sight. So if you want to pray now, and they say, oh yeah, start praying. This one will pray this way. This one will pray this way. You know, you can't win the battle like that way. I follow. So let me. I think there's okay. Let's just leave it as that. So what I want us to notice that is the word experts. They were experts in war. Are you following me? Then let's look at another example in 2 Samuel. When Bob and I started listing after, you know, when they were, the Chronicles was being written, and I'm talking about the mighty men of David. This was when they came in. By the time they were rounding up, you will see some of them had been so skillful. They were not many. When the Bible talks about when they go to war, it will say 600,000 men. So foot soldiers. No, these were not just foot soldiers. It's just about, there were 37 of them. But one man will kill 300 people. So it's like losing a naval seal. Ah! That's equal to about 30 people. That's why, you see, again, you need to understand, that's why God defers judgment on leadership that have gone astray. Why? Because he has put so much investment in them. And that's why, again, it took David a long time in the wilderness to be trained before he can become a king. That's why you find out that what God does is when he sees a situation like that, you know what he does? That's why he will plug Samuel in the house of Eli. Because there is nowhere else for Samuel to learn to perform the operation of a priest. While he's there, so he'll be training one, planning to lay that one aside. Are you following me? So let's read the 2 Samuel 23, we read verses 8 to 10. Are we all there? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. I follow me. He had them. That is, they were submitted. They were together. They understood purpose. They understood purpose, destiny. So it says that, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonites that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino, the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Once. How can you kill 800 people once? Skill. Anointed. Yes, anointed is anointed. You know, it's terribly anointed. But you see what I want to say? You see, an ordinary foot soldier cannot carry that kind of anointing. It's like when he said, well, who are you? He said, I'm he. Then all of them fell down. That's the unction. Are you following me? Next verse. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And after everybody ran away, these guys just stood their ground. But no going, we are staying, we must win this war. No going back. One man. So these are types and shadows of the kind of thing that God wants to do with you and I, to the exploits. So you don't get to the book of Bessel and then sit down and then you say you don't want to go again. No. Or like in the Bible book of Judges, I just came to me as I'm talking, where it says about the Gideon. He said, Gideon, he said they kept on, I think it's in Judges chapter 7, find it. He said, they were faint yet pursuing. Let me find it. You see, they were faint. They were pursuing Ziba and Zalmunna. They had killed Ziba and Oreb. So they now had Ziba and Zalmunna. There are four of them, which speaks about the principalities and powers. A lot of doctors were wicked spirits and emphasis. Okay, said, and Gideon came to Jordan, that place of death, where you died to self, and passed over. He and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. They didn't give up. that we must win this battle. Because if they refuse to defeat those people will go back, regroup, and come back again. That's why the Bible says that when the enemy goes away, he said they will go for a certain period of time. Then it will not come back again. You need to, that's why God told Saul, he said, make sure you destroy all the Amalekites. You see, he said, that infirmity you leave is going to come back. He said, it will go through around, going through and through. Then it will come back with seven more wicked spirits. So these people, they understood purpose. They were tired, they were faint. They said, no, I still need to do this extra phase of prayer today. I need to do this extra, but no, I can't, I need to cover my family. I need to do this. That, and it takes fathers. That's why you see Pastor doing. Pastor will finish, I say, you guys, some of us have to pray, after pray, and go and pray. Do not say, some of me, I was there, your mercy will cover, covering, cover. Okay, let's keep reading because of time. Let's go back to, because of time, we are in 2 Samuel 23, verse 8. I think we read verse 9. Let's read next verse 10. Verse 10 says, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. One man, his hand clave to the sword. The word already become flesh. I follow me. Life of God was made manifest in his other body. Because the sword that speaks about the sword, the Bible says that holding the sword of spirit, the word of God, which is the sword of spirit, the thing cleft his hand. It could not come off again. So you can see where God is taking us to. Where you use the word of God so skillfully. And even your adversaries, the enemy, will be amazed. Not the kind of people that, you know, you try, you go for, you see a situation, and then the demon now says, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? You see, I will give him an example. I don't want to give many examples. There are some things that I've said. I thank God for what we've been taught. I follow him. But everybody can be a skillful person using the word of righteousness. God does not say only I want 10 people. The reason is because God only is only a few people that go to the extra mile to become skillful. Because it takes diligence. You're going to take your time. You're going to take meditation in the word. You're going to get practice, humility, and all those things. We'll see it as we continue. Verse 10, right? Praise the Lord. So you can see from the Bible there that David had this man with him. And with them, they went ahead to possess Zion, going through the water spout. Praise the Lord. It's very important for us to know that. Now, I already said the word of righteousness speaks of always using the word of God to do the right thing. Let me explain again. You see, the word of God, like we sang, is a lamp to your feet. It is that word. Perhaps it's heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The word is so important that, like Pastor has taught us, your destiny is hidden in the written word. Are you following me? And each time, if you noticed, on the mount of temptation, when Satan came to tempt Jesus Christ, the master would say, it is written. That's been skillful. He was not using, he was not using the blood like we use. To try and say, the blood, you know, to defeat Satan. He knew exactly what to use. Precision. Say, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. But that's why you see, Bible says that in the book of Colossians, say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In all wisdom, skill. Very important. So you know exactly what to do at every situation, at every point in time. One of the things that I just mentioned again, just comes to my heart, I don't want to take too much time, is the aspect of pastor teaching us using the mercy of God. They want to say, Lord, have mercy on us to clean with the blood. He explains it from the scripture in the book of Hebrews chapter 8 or so. He says, I'll be merciful unto their unrighteousness, and their sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. That's a skillful person. What does that mean? So when you say, Lord, please have mercy on me, at the back of your mind, you know there is the blood there. Are you following me? It's in that scripture, I put it on the board. It says that, God was talking, let's together. I'm getting Adam says, for I will be what? Merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more. Hold that at the back of your mind. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you can see the blood in that mercy aspect. Then the other scripture in the book of Jude says, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Are you with me? So with that mercy now, you can see the blood and the life of God and then access to the life of God, and then you cannot pray in tongues. You know, one day Lord spoke to me, used the national example to speak to me. I wanted to take coffee.
And there's this 3-in-1 Nescafe copy. So God was telling me, can you see? He was explaining to me. I mean, I'm not vibrating, but the light just turned on me. But this is what they've taught us. So, like this machine now, this 3-in-1 coffee, we call it breakfast coffee. There's Nescafe inside. There's a bit of sugar inside, a bit of milk inside. So once you just open and pour it, you can drink. You are not looking for, oh, the sugar has finished. Oh, you're not trying to mix it in different quantities. It's already there. So this is the kind of thing we're talking about. Say, Lord, please have mercy on me. You have, you don't understand. That was what happened to blind Bartimaeus. When he said, son of David, you know, they thought, I said that God will never turn his eye away from anybody. Asked him, I said, son of David, have mercy. You mean, have mercy on me. Just stood still. Why? The blood. Son of David. The life. The power. You know, he didn't talk about sin there. He didn't say, in some places, he would say, you don't even talk about sin. That's the operation of mercy there. So what are we talking about? You see, the end time generation, we are going to understand how to use the word of scripture. Why? Because we must redeem the time. So when you say, Lord, please have mercy on me. I'll give another example. There was a time that one of somebody had an accident on a bike. So I went to visit him in the hospital. So I was there. He fell down, blood over his face, his mouth was swollen, he couldn't talk. So I sent a message to pastor. I said, sir, we have an issue in our hands. I mean, not Yamati. Because normally when things like that happen, I just duck under. You don't know what sister wants to do. So I told pastor, so I said, don't worry, I'll pray along. So I stood there. The wife was there. The guy couldn't talk. He was in pain. So I said, sorry. I prayed with him. He couldn't say amen. He would just shake his head. So I stood there. I said, God, what can I tell this man now before I go? At least he must be able to exercise a little bit of faith. Those people whispered to him, tell him to manage to say, Lord, have mercy on me. So each time he said, Lord, have mercy on me, the blood comes, the life flows, the healing continues. Yes. I will be merciful. So if he had sinned, maybe it's a mistake, maybe it is something, not sin like adultery. That blood, Lord, please have mercy on me. Jonah, the third day, it was when I cried God for mercy that was delivered. He said, those that observe lying vanities forsake their mercy. I tell you that Jonah was not supposed to go there at all. He was supposed to spend 1 day, 2 days, or 3 days there. But when he asked God for mercy, what happened? The Bible says, the fish not only took him to the place of destiny, but he caught up with lost time. And was still able to fulfill his assignment. That is the example of talking about using the word of God skillfully. But you notice it came from the wise master builders. So let's continue. Let's put some scripture behind this. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 18. Are we there? What does it say? It says, wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyed much good. Let's leave that second aspect. So let's say, wisdom is better than weapons of war. What is the best thing? Pastor has mentioned it some years ago. But wisdom and weapons of war is the best. If you have wisdom and you don't have weapons, you can't do anything. And if you have weapons and then you don't know the wisdom of how to use it, it's not profitable. But the best thing is to have wisdom and weapons of war. So you can now use your weapons skillfully. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10. If the iron be blunt and it do not wet the edge, then must he put to more strength. But wisdom is what? Profitable to direct. Are you following me? So he's talking about skill here. For you to be skillful, you need wisdom. So you don't waste your energy, your time, your resources. And you can do, like that definition. It was particularly, I gave that definition in the afternoon. So you can do something concisely, precisely, with wisdom, and finish it on time, because that is what we need now in the body of Christ. Like I said, we don't have 40 years to waste like Moses again. We don't. We don't. We'll get to that. A quick walk, Lord will do. And cut it short in righteousness. Lord, I told you, I'll mention it again, just because it comes to us. I spoke to him some time ago. He said that, look, he said that during the Olympic Games, in those days, when you took off before time, they'll give you 3 times. Okay, maybe before the gun goes off for 100 meter dash, they'll say, well, come back. The first time, if you do the second time, they will forgive you, so to speak. The third time, describe, but no, not in today. Once you are gone, it happened to this 100 meter guy, not Nigerian, American guy,
100 meters, this last Olympics, yes, he was there on your mark. You know what happened? They checked the time. You see, you're supposed to take off at after 0.01 seconds. The guy took off 0.099 and they disqualified him. Why? What are we saying? Not to make us afraid. We can't afford not to be skillful. So, now when you walk in love and pray in tongues, the word of God comes out of your mouth like a sharp two-edged sword. Because the Bible calls the word of God the sword of the Spirit. Revelation chapter 1 verse 16. Talk about it, you can say, out of his mouth went forth a sharp two-edged sword. That is, the background of what makes it sharp is your prayer in the Spirit, your love work and prayer in the Spirit. Or else you come out blunt. I'm reading that scripture we just read in Exodus chapter 10 verse 10. Are you all with me? So, we have two main enemies just to refresh our mind. The pastor has taught us the residual sin nature in our soul and our body. That is enemy number one. Romans chapter 8 say, for the carnal mind is in enmity with God, for it can never please God. They are the opposing team that are with you. The fifth column, you think they are part of you. They have already taken money. So when you take anyone and pass to them, think that they will pass to the goalkeeper, they will just score a goal. They are there. That's why the Bible says that I will lay a table before you in the presence of your enemies. So, but you need to know your enemies. Many people don't know their enemies. So they don't have actionable intelligence, like Pastor taught. They cannot, they don't know. You know, if you know your enemy now, you pretend that you don't know your enemy. I follow me. So that you can act intelligently. And like, this food that my wife has served tonight, if I finish this thing, I'm not saying my wife is my enemy or no. Tomorrow to pray will be a problem. Are you following me? It's a simple example. You can apply it. Okay, if I load tonight, to get up to pray tomorrow morning, it's going to be a problem. You can already see enemy number one, which is a lack of temperance. Are you following me? So it's very important for us to know. So the two enemies, then the second one is Satan and his power in the Ephesians 2:2. But say, when in times past you walked according to what cause of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. I follow him. So very important. These are the ones that dribble us, that hinder or use the word dribble because I've been talking about football. That hinder us or try to stop us from being skillful. So we have to be skillful to outwit them and do what God wants us to do. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that the wise man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the foolish passeth on and are what? And are destroyed. Let us read Romans chapter 7, verse 15, the Amplified Bible. Romans chapter 7, verse 15, the Amplified Bible, where Paul was lamenting. He said that, for I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled, bewildered. I do not practice or accomplish what I wish, but I do the very thing that I loathe, which my moral instinct condemns. And it goes far as he said, I discovered there is another law operating, even the law of sin that brings me into captivity. But he now says something. He said, I thank my God for the law of spiritual life has set me free from the law of sin. That is, over a period of time, he learned to be skillful in the use of the word of right. That is, grew from a baby to a man. Are you following me? So that's why I said, you know, when I was as a child, I thought as a child. When I became a man, I left childish things. So praise the Lord. It's very important. So what are these weapons to make them? Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. It's not something that we don't know. Pastor has taught us. Say the blood, the word, and the spirit. Those are the Holy Spirit is not really a weapon. It's the third person of the Godhead. I find the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the weapon we have. Say the blood, the word, and the spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. So we don't need to put scriptures behind. We already know. Hebrews chapter 4:12 says that the word of God is a sharp two-edged sword. It says, dividing asunder soul, spirit, and marrow. Are you following me? But let us read Hosea. I mentioned it last time I was sharing by the grace of God. Hosea chapter 8, verse 2. Obviously, the problem we have in the body of Christ today is that people have despised these things. They would rather hold on to the old things they are doing. If you come and tell this man, the blood, the word, and the spirit, this is what you need to overcome. It's either they abuse the blood, or they handle the word of God deceitfully, or they despise the spirit of grace. So they cannot use those three weapons skillfully. Are you following me? So Hosea chapter 8 verse 12 talks about this condition with those two verses. So I have written to him great things of my law. Now the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. But they were counted as a strange thing. This is strange. Praying in tongues is strange. You don't have to pray in tongues. It's strange to them. Next verse. The sacrifice, once you don't, you count those things as strengthening, the next thing you'll be doing, you'll be sacrificing flesh. You start doing things in the flesh. And for them, instead of doing things by the Spirit. So it says that, for the sacrifice flesh for the sacrifice of my offering, and eat it. But the Lord accepted them not. Now will he remember their iniquity and visit their sins. They shall return to Jesus. That means they will backslide. You see, if you don't learn, you see, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But a mighty God to pull down strongholds, etc. If you don't learn to use your weapons, automatically what you are doing is you are operating in the flesh. You can't, there's no in between. Once you don't learn to use, you count them like this as a strange thing. Why should I be confessing my sins every day? I have not done anything wrong. Folks, you don't understand. Why will the doctor, after he's attending to you, why does he go and wash his hands? Is it because he has picked up something bad from you? Why when you go to the hospital, if they give you drugs now, maybe a tablet does. You know, naturally, if I'm at home, I'll pick it. I'll put my. If he knows, no, just give him down. Why? Why do they do that? Are you following me? The doctor attends to you. When he finishes, there's always a sink in one corner. They will go and wash his hand or use sanitizer. Are you following me? COVID has taught us that now. There are germs in the air. So you don't need to wait for something to happen before you now begin to do those things. Leave a slice of bread now that is moist in this corner and walk away. And come back in about 3 or 4 days. And what will you find on the mold? Did somebody plant it there? No. The Bible says that man drinketh iniquity like water. That is sin in the atmosphere. You don't want to wait till you sin before you confess your sins. I follow me. So that mommy quotes the scripture which says, the enemy come and has nothing in me. That is, at every point in time, you are confessing your sins, not as for out of condemnation, but to maintain your right standing with God. So anytime Satan comes, this guy is clean, I can't touch him. Are you following me? So it's like somebody wiping, like Pastor Shared, always wiping this pulpit. We program the person, wipe it maybe every 1 hour. So at any point in time you come, it's clean. This thing is clean. Not because, it's because of the diligence of the person that is wiping it. Are you following me? So it's very important. So let's move on. And we need the knowledge of these weapons. You see, you can, when I say knowledge, we need the knowledge, not just the knowledge. As I said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We need the understanding of these weapons. I've talked about the blood, water, and spirit. And then we need the wisdom to apply it. So you don't misapply it. Are you following me? Many times when Christ is going to cast out the devil, he didn't speak in tongues. He has spoken in tongues in the background. I'm not saying it's wrong speaking tongues. He will just come out, just come out. Even look at the Lord Jesus Christ and Apostle Peter. When Jesus Christ was going to raise Jairus' daughter, he took them all out. And he spoke the word. But look at Peter in the book of Acts. He took them all out, but he locked the servant and prayed. Before he said, "Food." Difference. Capacity. Skill. Are you following me? It's very important. So we need the knowledge. Say knowledge. Understanding. And the wisdom of how to use the skills. Now, Proverbs 2:6. Says that it is God that giveth wisdom. Let's read the Proverbs 2:6. Let's read it. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh what? Knowledge and understanding. So everything, knowledge, understanding, wisdom comes from God. It is God that gives it. Are you all with me? Bible says, understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that has it. If you don't have understanding, it won't bring life to you. It's very important. So, let's look at Daniel for an example. Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. Daniel chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. Let's look at that. And he informed me. Okay, 20. Let's go to 20. This was why. Notice again. This understanding, this knowledge, this wisdom came while he was praying and fasting. It can't just drop on you like rapturous. Are you following me? It says, and whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin, can you see that very important? And the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Next verse. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Next verse. And he informed me and talked with me and said, oh Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee what? Skill and understanding. But no, it wasn't the angel. It was God that gave it to the angel
to go and give to Daniel. Praise the Lord. Now, why is this message very important? We mentioned it in passing. I put it as, God wants to do a quick work on the earth in righteousness. God wants to do a quick work on the earth in righteousness. A simple example, using that football analogy, just comes to my mind. If you see a very good coach, are you following me? Or, you know what they will do? Maybe you are the second half of the game. You will have reserved some guys there. Are you following me? So when the second half begins, maybe 10 minutes to second half, you just bring that guy in. You will instruct him. You will have watched the first half. You will have seen that this. Okay, no problem. You will not bring that guy in. So when that guy comes in, he knows exactly what to do. Let me give a negative example in Nigeria. Negative in the sense you understand what I'm trying to say. There's a guy called Ten. Many of us will not know him. We had a football match, and some people had to go out for us to score a goal. So when I can't even remember his name, but I know it's Ten. Bright on Okaro. So they brought this guy in. So when he entered and played the football match, this danger man that was troubling Israel, Nigerian Green Eagles or Super Eagles, the guy came in. I don't know what he did. The guy was coming. Makara had the ball. So, you know what he did? He passed the ball to the guy. So, the guy was trying to trap the ball. The referee didn't see what was going on. He just came and just gave him what called Nibiji. I actually think I saw the guy's leg go like this. He was out of the game. Now, that's a negative example. But what I'm trying to say is this. You bring in a skillful person when you're having difficult challenges with the enemy. So, he knows that, look, this is a stronghold of Satan. Like, we must go the way of the water spout. And the only person that had that skill to do it was Joab. Nobody else had it. Are you with me? So you need skillful people. So we say, no, this is the person that can do this job. Why? For you and I, you have been brought to the kingdom for such a time as this. We are in the dying minutes of this match. So you have to shoot to score. It's not a time to dribble, then dribble backwards again, then dribble to the front again. It's not, you can dribble, but 1-2, skillful people. Are you following me? Purposeful. We are shooting now, so to speak, to kill. Right, we have to score. That's what we are doing now. We are not wasting time. Pastor Tunji is smiling. These are the people that are football gurus. They can do it better than me. You see, you are shooting to score. I find it's not a time to kick the ball, then sorry sir, I won't do it too. Like I said earlier about Olympic Games, if you do that, the coach will just, bros, please come. You don't understand that this is the finals of the World Cup. You are playing that. You are not going to play on that one if you qualify in that 4 years. Have you? So please come and sit down. So you cannot use your own problem to affect other people who will never get a chance to play again. Who are already old. By the 2 years time, they can't play football again. Like it happened to Moses. So, folks, sorry. They just set up a flag. You've been dribbling. Like, okay, no worry. We're going to be dribbling in the dressing room. They put somebody that understand purpose and destiny. Praise the Lord. So, God wants us to do a quick walk on there. Romans chapter 9, verse 28 in the Amplified Bible. Romans chapter 9, verse 28 in the Amplified Bible. Let's read together. For the Lord will execute his what? Sentence upon the earth. That means that his sentence has been passed already on Satan. It needs to be implemented. Just as I said, the spirit of this world is judged already. This is the day of judgment. I found so. He said, for the Lord will execute his sentence upon the earth. He will conclude and close his account with men completely and without delay. Rigorously, cutting it short, is justice. King James says, the Lord will do a quick work, Lord do upon us and cut it short in righteousness. So he's going to take us to God is not going to come and do it. He's going to need people on the earth to do it. The heavens and the heavens become Lord. But the earth has given the sons of men. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. So you need to understand. You can't go back tomorrow and then you say, I won't join Good Morning Jesus. You're supposed to be in the stadium to come and play a football match here. Are you with me? Then maybe it's a Liberty Stadium. Then you're going to be playing in another match. Are you following me? No. When you finish that match, then you cannot go and play your own. Or play your own before. They come and join this one. Are you all with me? Very important. Lord will give us understanding. What does he say? And the God of peace shall what? Bruise Satan under your feet what? Shortly.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Then the second part I have here is that of, I say, a lack of wisdom can lead to destruction. It's very obvious. Hosea 4, verse 6. My people says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. You can put it on the board. Just say, my people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, for thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So, the other point I have here is not me. Point number 4 is, says that God has scheduled this end time move or these skillful people coming to operation for this third day. That is, we could not acquire this skill until the knowledge and the understanding and wisdom was available. Are you following me? Even Paul, some of the things he wrote, he could not practice in the fullness that we have now. The Bible says the path of a judge as a shining light, it shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Can you imagine that sometimes you will see some of your children, if only I had this day when I was in school. Why? It was not for your time. Do you understand that simple illustration? You see, so Paul will be looking on the back of heaven and Moses, all of them. David will say, if I knew to bind, everything was there, but the pristine knowledge, to use it, the skill to use it, it wasn't for them. Because they were not meant to close the age. They saw it, but it wasn't for them. It is for us to finish the match, like Pastor Lau always say, and then go up in a blaze of glory. Praise the Lord. So, 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verses 38 to 39. Let me use that to explain what I've just said. That is, this ability to be skillful word of righteousness is only available to us in this end time. This is where I was talking about these same people that came in droves to join David. Now, look at what it says. All these men of war, we read it earlier, I don't want to go back there. This one that could sling a shot, this one that could do something cliff, all that. He said, all these men of war that could keep rank, very important. Unity is very important. You cannot be skillful in isolation. That could keep rank, came with a perfect heart. Towards to Hebron. Hebron is a place of covenants. That's why they made David king. So you don't break covenant. To make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart. To make David king. Are you all with me? Be thinking spiritually. I don't want to waste too much time to explain. Next verse. And there they were with what? David. 3 days, eating and drinking for their brethren are prepared for them. You see, it's not natural food we are talking about here. We are talking about in this third day, God has made a feast unto all people. A feast of fat things. A feast of wines on the lees, well refined. So we've been with David these 3 days. We've been eating. Not physical food, folks. We've been spiritual food. The Lord, the word, prepared for such a time as this. Are you all with me? So it's not because we weren't praying before we got born again. Even after you got born again, you know how to pray. But you now come in and I say, look, this is beginning to pray in units of 1 hour. You have been feasting for the past 3 days. Why? Because we must take Zion. It was after, in the third, when they finished, they now went ahead as one man with one heart, made David king. I said, okay, this is our purpose. This is our destiny. Okay, David now says, who will be the first person that will go and take Zion? And they went by the way of the water spout. Let me just give you a brief story. Maybe you don't understand it. You see, Zion was built on a very high place. I think it's the highest mountain. There are 7 mountains in Israel. The Bible keeps talking about Zion. And at that time, like I said, Joshua couldn't take it. So the Jebusites were the ones that were there. And they were making fun of David. He said, even the lame and the blind, I'm going to defeat you, your army. Why? Because the only way to go there was a shaft, like the flow of water, going to a place through the gutter. The last place they expected that they would take it. That was where Joab took his men, but he led them and went up there and they took Zion. You see, when he took Zion, he now gave the crown to David. You know why? He understood that the anointing to take Zion was not from him, it was from the captain. Notice it was David that called the 3 anointings. None of the other mighty men were anointed.
to God, God and takes. He was added a king, priest, and a prophet. He added him in the house of Jesse, his father's house. He added him king over Judah in Hebron. And they anointed him. He had three anointings as well. Joab or all the other men, they didn't have the anointings. So what they had was the bold anointing of the full measure that was on David, because they had three perfect anointing. That's what they were operating with. That's why this one could fight skillfully. That's why it cost Joab so much. He said, don't touch my anointed one. You need to understand at the back of your mind. I follow him. That's why we've come together to establish the kingdom. Very important. So they were eating. We've been eating 3 days now. No, day and night. And this is the third day from Christ. We've been eating, feasting, drinking, feasting, everything. You know, now digesting the food. I will now begin to exercise. I fall into build muscles. So very important. I already mentioned it. Unity is very important. Hebrews 10:25 says that we should not forsake the gathering for ourselves, but much the more so as we see day approaching. Why? If you are trying to pray alone at home, it is similar to what happens to those stragglers in the wilderness. When the trumpet was blown, I was told to move on. Then you see some people, they were waiting behind. Then what happened? The Amalekites picked them out. Why? Because, but say, one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. It's not enough to know what to do, but it's more important to do what you know to do in the midst of the brethren. So that peradventure you are weak. Like when David was weak, and there was this guy called Ish-bibonet. He was going to smite David, and was one guy that just, Bible says, he succored him. But if David was fighting alone, what would happen? I said, when one is weak, and that is strong, it will pull him up. That's the importance of unity. I'd like to encourage us again to please come to church. It's good to watch the program. It's good to listen at home. Are you following me? But, folks, there is a assembly, a charging together. When we come together, there is a connection through, if it can't be avoided. But no, you have a set of battery terminals. They must be physically linked together. Are you following me? If you are at home alone, if I do sleep, my wife will not want to disturb me. See, I understand your knees tired. But if I'm here, Pastor Lau will look at me. It's a simple example. Are you following me? So you find that it helps. All the terminals are connected together at the same time. Now, if you can't come, God understands. But don't let it be a habit or a practice. You know why? When this was written, there was no internet. So what it actually means is that gather together. Paul said, in one place. Gather in one place. It is this before that. That should be the exception, not the rule. Especially when you're supposed to be here. It's a different thing if it's a pyramid that is perfectly online. That is different. But the one that's supposed to be here, don't say, I'll listen at home. You will not. If you are listening, you won't be able to concentrate. The children will be moving around the place. People will be shouting. But here now, you can sit down. People can nod you if you are sleeping. Are you all with me? So it's important not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. Much more so as the day approaches. It's approaching. The day is already here. Praise the Lord. So how do we do this? As being to round up. Number one, by submitting to and obeying the instructions of wise master builders, the apostles and the prophets. Very important. See, we can't run away from this. From my own little experience that I have, folks, if I think I can live with you, whatever I have ever said on this pulpit, whatever I have ever shared on this pulpit, I must be honest with you. And it's not flattery. It's coming from the fathers of the house. I must be honest with you. I must tell you the truth, how I am getting it. So now look, I see this man. I'm not special in any way. Are you following me? That's why in Philippians 1:7, Paul said, you are all partakers of my grace. So I recognize that once the attitude shifts a bit, things are not clear again. It has happened many times. It's just that I don't announce. Love covers a multitude of sins, the Bible says. But once I see, something is wrong. And I begin to check. Okay. Correct it. And it comes again. I just see so much like, that is why the Bible says that he that leaves the congregation of the righteous also shall abide in the, he that lives the way of righteousness shall abide in the congregation of the dead. Okay. It says, you are, the last aspect says, you are all partakers of my grace. That is everybody in the Philippian church. Say you are partakers. It's free for you. It's not, it's, at this point, it's not only for me, it's for everybody. Why? So that the work can be done. Because Paul cannot do it alone. So he needs that same measure of grace. So you understand that we are working together towards one goal. You know the vision. Must write the vision, make it plain. So that either read it, that run it. So we're all running towards the same goal. I follow him. So it's very important. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10 in the Amplified Bible explaining it. So although I said that this vision comes from God, but you see, everything is not going to come from God. It will give it to this wise master builder. It's clear in scripture. Are you following me? What does it say in the Amplified Bible? It says, according to the grace, the special endowment for my task of God bestowed on me, like a skillful architect and master builder, I laid the foundation, and now another man is building upon it, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it. That is, Paul is telling the Corinthian church that God gave me some skills. Are you following me? And I've given them to you. Now use those things to build. So to leave those things, the blood, the word, and the spirit, and to be building is not to build on the right foundation. You'll be building on sand. And I dare say, the rains will fall, the winds will blow, and the floods will rise. So if you don't build on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, that house will come down. Bible says about Ephesians, it says that you are built to a holy habitation by of the you are built on the apostles of the and the prophets. You know, for the foundation of the apostles and the prophets as a holy habitation for the spirit to inhabit. I follow him. So it's very important. So the second point is that we must be doers of the word. And be doers of what means it takes consistent practice to be skillful. All those footballers I mentioned, they spend hours when everybody has gone to bed. They spend hours. I can remember they asked this guy in place for the English team, England, what's his name? This skillful, no. This guy used to score free kicks. I forgot his name. Beckham. He said, how come? Put the ball in any corner, it's going straight to one particular angle. So when they have a free kick, they talk and call David Beckham. So they asked him, they said, how come you are able to score? He said, after everybody has gone, I take the ball and I begin to practice from all the angles. So it's not under the, you see, because that time there was nobody there. So it's not under pressure if he makes a mistake. You can't practice when there's pressure. I said, we have to score. Beckham, you'll be shaking. So it takes constant private practice. So the guy will put the ball in this side. He will kick it. Okay. He will kick it. So by the time you know, he'll be able to calculate. I'll give another example that comes to my heart. Angles. That's come to my heart. I just mentioned it. Muhammad Ali. When he came to fight, I think it's George Foreman in Africa. We are shouting Ali Bomai. You know what the guy did? He's, go and read it. Rumble in the jungle. When the guy got to Zaire, it was Zaire. Yeah, I remember. So the night before the fight, Ali woke up and went to the ring. He said, you take him there. So he went there. That's when he started rope-a-dope. So he went, he would lean on the thing. He calculated the steps he needed to take. I got him to move backwards. So he spent hours while George Foreman was sleeping. So when they got into the ring the next day, he brought out a different skill that he had not seen before. So when the guy came, he knew that George Foreman was a heavy puncher. He was a brawler. I get it. He will corner you, then he'll give bam, bam, bam. And Ali knew that. So what Ali did was this. When George Foreman came, he first of all, he will just bring to the ropes. Then the guy will come. Then Ali will now lean on the ropes. They will go like this. Whoa, whoa, whoa. That's what you should do to Satan. Are you following me? He will set a trap here. You will go this way. Set a trap here. You will go this way. Then one asks, who is the person that is telling them? Like the Dark King. Who is what is discovering a secret to him? Are you following me? So they came. George Foreman didn't know. But Ali had already planned what he was going to do. It was a different skill from the way it was strategy, from the way he was fighting before. And of course, when he was like, Ali, bomb my head, he beat him. That's how he invented it. Skillful. If you read the book of Jeremiah, let me listen to scripture. The Bible says, God has opened his weapons of his armory. God is bringing out, he said, I'll bring out new things.
He said, don't say that you knew them before. Watching and praying. No, confess the word. Now, pastor has thought of, well, no, I don't have time to come there. I just showed you an example of mercy. Don't go back. You know, it's like when pastor said that before, when he was drawing life and past scriptures, he will open the Bible, he will read the scripture, make a confession, or thinking about one now. Then he has taught you something there. Then you now want to go back and be reading the scripture, make a confession, and then, no, you're going to lose the match. We'll lose the match in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So, very important. We do out of the word. James chapter 1, verse 22. I'm not sure. It's the process of doing that becomes skillful. Practice, I mean. Then number three is praying the Pauline prayers for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. All the other prayers in Ephesians 3, 16 to 19, you know, 2 Corinthians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. There's something that I need to mention. God reminded me now. I need to mention it. You know, in this answer, let me just plug it in now before I move to the next point. It happened recently. I'm just sharing my experiences and relating what we've been taught. I was having my bath and Lord spoke to me in Yoruba. There's an adage, I will say it in English. He said, if a young boy stumbles, he will look at the front. So if an elderly person, he will look at the back. Why? So it doesn't stumble. That same thing will not cause him to stumble. So God told me, he said, make sure you judge yourself every day. That is, look at the old day. Maybe you are in the midst of people and you talk too much. Don't say, it just happened. It could be anything. So he said, if you don't do that, you are a babe, like I was talking about. Because tomorrow you are going to repeat the same mistake. Because Satan is going to orchestrate the same circumstances. So he said, you know, in Yoruba, he says, that's what he means. I said in English already. That what caused this? What is the cause? The cause process and outcome. So in the course of the day, just like somebody selling things, you take stock. Take stock. Don't wait till communion service. You won't remember. That way you'll be making progress every day. Every day. So you get back home. For example, maybe you slept in the service. I'm not saying everybody slept. Don't say his message was too long. No. Nothing wrong with that can defile a man. Exactly what the why are you defiled? How are you defiled? What else didn't sleep now? So why did you sleep? So you now don't condemn yourself. You now go back. Lord, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I slept. What happened? Go now. Those people knocking now said, do you remember that? You know, you shouldn't have ate this amount of food. Just an example before coming to church. Don't load. So that's simple. So each day, you are taking lost ground. You are not going out the next day to repeat the same mistake. Like Bible says, you return to your vomit again. They start going one step forward, two steps backward, one step forward, two steps backward. The same thing keeps making. So when Satan starts setting those things into motion, let me give a very terrible example. You will laugh when I say this. There was a day, I think I didn't have enough money and I wanted to take a bike. So I got on the bike. You know, at times, you can't determine who sits on the bike. Are you following me? So they put a lady behind me. I said, okay, let's go. No problem. All of a sudden, on the bike. The bike was going. Then, normally when I'm going on the bike, the big wind is supposed to be blowing like this. Then the winds are blowing from behind. Blood of Jesus. You are laughing. Are you following me? So the winds are blowing from behind. So the wig started blowing on the back of my head. I said, God, keep no more eyes in the Bible. So the next time now, you are laughing. You are laughing. Are you following me? It's a very natural example. But there are some things you don't need to call for mercy. When I see that situation now, I will wait for another. She goes, no, I'm not in a hurry. Let me just wait. I follow what I'm trying to say. So you know, so you see where Satan is plugging things in your circumstances, in your life, in your workplace. There are some people, when you see them, this one, I must bind the devil before I go and talk to this person. It's cantankerous. You already know. So you don't go there, it makes you stumble. And next day you go there again, it's dangerous something. You already know. Are you following me? So very important. Yeah. Let's stop now. Now the next thing is praying with all kinds of prayer in the spirit, especially traveling prayer. I'll use the scriptures to explain that. Isaiah 41 verse 15 says, behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth. You will thresh the mountains and beat them small. You make the hills as chaff. You will find them and you will cut them away, and the world will scatter them. What I want to say is sharp threshing instrument having teeth. Now, what does that mean? We are talking about babes. that take milk. Babes that take milk don't have teeth. I follow him, or it's just beginning to come out. I follow me. So they can only take something, just drink milk. So it is traveling prayer that is a threshing instrument. I follow you. You must begin to practice that. Are you with me? So that you begin to practice traveling prayer. So you can have sharp threshing instrument. Because it says that strong meat belongeth unto them that are mature. Why can they eat strong meat? Because they have teeth. They have threshing instruments. If you don't have threshing instruments, you can't thresh anything. Or if you don't practice threshing, you can't. The mountain will stand there. If it's a mountain of pride, it will stand there. If it's a mountain of ego, it will stand there. Offense, it will stand there. So it's going to take this sharp threshing instrument, groaning, to bring it down. That's it. Who shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast to the sea? Are you all with me? So Psalm 42 verse 7 says, deep calleth unto deep. At the noise of thy water spouts, thy waves and billows have gone over me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verses 6 to 10, and we'll close. The importance of traveling prayer is very important. You need this threshing instrument. So you are going to begin to dig deep. It will take you to most of the place. You begin to see things that others don't see. You begin to see things that you need to do to solve a problem that you have in your personal life. We have general instructions. God will now begin to, like a skillful, those that make cocktail drinks. You now begin to look at all the confirmation that pastor has given us. Here a little, there a little, there a little, there. You take a single level of confession, or maybe two lines, and there are about four different scriptures with it. It's skillfully blended together. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. Are we there? It says, howbeit we speak what the wisdom among them that are perfect, mature. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. Next verse. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory for this set time. Next verse. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Next verse. But as it is written, I had not seen, hear had not heard, neither have entered the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them that love him. It's not just money. It's these skillful things that we're going to use. That's what we bring to mind. Next verse. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Look at that word deep. Take it back to the one I quoted in deep collect unto deep. That's how you get it to. The problem that's been a mountain in your life all these years is when you begin to travel. The wisdom is not in the outer court. If it was in the outer court, you would have had it today. It's not in the holy place. You have to travel to enter the holy place. Shekinah glory. We are talking to God face to face. They go on out of way. This particular problem that you are facing, you've been told to take the general confessions once a week. But for you, Laulu, you must take it once every day. Yes, sir. So don't be content with, they said, we'll take it 1 week. So I've taken it 1 week and mark. It's beyond that, too. It's beyond that. It's beyond that. Some confessions, you may have to take it 10 times. Every day. Others may take it just once. But see, that wisdom, then God can add it to it. He doesn't remove it, he can add it to himself. He can even tell me, make sure you take your own at this particular time. Like I said earlier on, you may say, once you are wake, before, for example, God spoke to me and said, I was going to eat and go to bed. He said, make sure you set your will before you go to bed, to wake up early. He may not tell you that. For me, he said, set your will, determined to wake up a great time before dawn to pray. So I did, because when I wake up at times, the pressure, oh God, how am I going to do this thing again? Ah, yeah. Hold on, Sean. Why am I going? I follow him. Then the pressure comes on you. Then you want to roll over. I said, no. Set your will to wake up early the next day. So I set my will. I pray in tongues. I follow him. And then so when I wake up, I find yoke was easier. It's still there, but it's not as heavy. Now I get up. I will have done one or two things before. I say, I've already got into good groove. Skillful. So, praise the Lord. So, in summary, God wants us to be skillful men and women in using the word of God, word of righteousness, skillfully. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Let's thank God for his mercies. Thank you, Father, for your covering today. Thank you, Father, for your mercy that has spoken. We are grateful, Lord God. Thank you for strengthening us. Thank you for encouraging us.
Thank you, Lord. What the Bible says that, Lord, the wise man foresees the evil and hides himself, but the foolish persons are destroyed. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for that which you are doing. We are grateful. Thank you, thank you. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, Holy Spirit. Thank you. One more scripture. One more scripture. I didn't mention it. One more scripture. Sorry to take your time. You see, I said those that don't learn to be skillful will lead to destruction of the flesh. Proverbs chapter 1. I don't know it of it. Proverbs chapter 1. I will read it. Proverbs chapter 1. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for reminding me. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Because you see, I said you have been feasting for the past 3 days. That feast is to go and possess the promised land or Zion. We're not just feasting for feasting's sake. So in first, we have come to this time now. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20. I will read. Because this has been going on for a long time. And this will account for the number of people that are going to be destroyed. There's going to come a time that people will seek wisdom and the door will be shut. It's not shut yet. Please, it's not shut yet. The five foolish men, when they came, they knocked. He said it was shut. But it's not shut yet. But I'm reading this so I can know that there is time to press in and begin to practice these things we have been taught. So we can be skillful. Wisdom cried without. She uttered her voice in the streets. She cried in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttered her word, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. That is going on right now. I don't believe the door is shut yet. Because I have called, now there is a problem. And you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel. I will none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. That speaks about what is going on in the end time. Ask some men filling them for fear of things to come. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's one of the things we do every morning. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools. That means that was a problem. Shall what? Destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and I require the fear of evil. Praise the Lord. Oh, how I love thy
Lord. It is my meditation all of the day. Feeling my heart, feeling my heart and mind. Guide it, light, I will know the
Lord, let's put one on our hearts and raise the other hand to heaven. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. We are grateful. We turn all the glory unto you. Please say, Lord, please have mercy on us. So we receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Receive your life and your power in sufficient measure as we pray now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me of the importance of using the word of righteousness to perfect your love in my life and also to overcome the enemy that is Satan and his residual sin nature in my soul and body. I come to ask for fresh mercy and grace to enable me to obey and to submit to those you have set in authority over me, and also to daily use the blood, the word, and the spirit to cleanse myself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness.